It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 27. We're going to begin reading with verse 37 today, Matthew 27, 37. And so please, if you can, open your Bibles and prepare for the study. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to contact us, you could email, write to us at Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you would like to call us, it's 217-440-4402. If you would like to check out our website, we got many studies there, parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. And if you'd like to email us, it'd be parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one will be just fine. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Matthew chapter 27, verse 27. And set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and the elders, saying, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man calleth for Elijah." And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, "Let be. Let us see whether Elijah would come to save him." And Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil in the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared to be many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things which were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." We're going to stop with that verse 54, and begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we have the opportunity today to come and study your precious word. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity. Thank you for your Spirit, your sweet Spirit that comes and indwells every believer, and then shows us your way, shows us your will, guide and leads us through each and every day, and guides us through your precious word so we can understand and know your will. Thank you, Father. I ask that you would bring everyone that does not know you as their Savior, that they would come today, that through this study, that they would see that the sins of all the world was taken care of, was dealt with on this very day, when Jesus died on the cross. But it's not just a universal salvation. He allows us to come by faith, by choice. We decide, we choose. When the Holy Spirit convicts our heart and shows us that we're a sinner, we say, "Yes, I know I'm a sinner. Yes, I know I need a Savior. And yes, Jesus is the only one that can save me." That's what you need to do. Listen to the Holy Spirit today, please. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We find in verse 38, it says, then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And so when we see this, and then if you jump down with me to verse 44, the thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Now, it seems that there was one on the right, one on the left, so there was a total of three. As we talked about before, the one in the middle is supposedly the one with the greatest shame. And so we know in Isaiah 53:12 that he was numbered with the transgressors. And so this is partially history and partly for us to understand that they felt like Jesus was the worst of the worst. And that's, he's the Son of God. Now, we have just read concerning the two thieves. We have discussed this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. We have looked at that 37th verse last time we were together. We're going to go over to Luke chapter 23 because of these two verses, verse 38 and verse 44. And again, verse 38 of chapter 27 of Matthew, then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and one on the left. And then verse 44, the thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now, let's go to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 23. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 23. And we're going to start here with verse 39. One of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. It was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and that's right where we're at in the other text. I want you to see this because as we read back in the Matthew chapter 27, verse 44, the thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in their teeth. It would seem that Matthew does not record what Luke has to say. And it would bring the thought and appear that one of these thieves that stated here in Luke that he deserved everything that was coming to him. We deserve to be crucified, but this man does not. I believe that one of the thieves on the cross allowed the Holy Spirit to touch his heart. And he began to watch the Lord Jesus. And I believe he began to listen to the Lord Jesus, to listen to his words, listen as he spoke. Listen as he talked to John, said, please take care of my mother. As he was criticized and condemned by so many, and yet he said not a word. I believe that all that testimony, and we can go back to when Stephen was stoned, and later time here, when Paul, his name was still Saul before he was saved, he stood there and he watched Stephen to be stoned to death. And I think in Stephen's death is what touched Saul, which became Paul, Saul's life. I think the Holy Spirit was able to break through that shell, got down to that old cold heart, and just crushed it to pieces. And Saul was saved. And I think the same thing happened here with this criminal that we're looking at here in Matthew and in Luke. But it tells us back in Matthew that they both cast the same in his teeth. In other words, they continued to respond the same way that the crowd was responding, criticizing, condemning. But at some point in time, one of these criminals started to realize, opened up his mind, opened up his heart to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was able to come in and show him that this is the Son of God. Now, we're going to read this again, because with that in mind, back in Luke 23, verse 39, one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." I believe both of them was commenting much the same way for a period of time. But at some point in time, the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God?" He saw something, and again, the Holy Spirit is the one that convicted the hearts of both of them, but neither one of them, one of them did not respond, one of them did. But the other answered, rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation?" We're dying. We're dying, and we're going to go to hell. "We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds." He acknowledged he was a sinner. He had stopped rebuking the Lord Jesus and begin to recognize what was going on here. "For we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." Isn't that something, how hanging on that cross, right next to the Lord Jesus, the Spirit showed him that Jesus was the Son of God, that Jesus was perfect, that he did nothing wrong. And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Verily I say to thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." What wonderful words, today. Because you see, when Jesus died, I believe that he ascended down into the place of Abraham's bosom, otherwise known as paradise. Jesus was there with this man because he recognized he was a sinner, and he asked Jesus to save him. You see, it's not so specifically the words that you say. It's your heart. It's your heart. I love that part. Come back now with me to Matthew chapter 27, verse 39. "And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads." To revile means to taunt, to ridicule. "They reminded him of his words, 'Destroy the temple destroy the temple. It took years to build it. Destroy the temple, and in 3 days I'll rebuild it. Well, Jesus was not talking about that material building. He was talking about his body. His body. He would be raised from the dead in 3 days. And then the words came out, and this is words that people use today. I say, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest in 3 days, save thyself. If you're going to do that, if you're so mighty and so strong, because see, they're looking at material things. They're looking at earthy things. They're looking at material, and they're not looking at the Son of God, and he's going to be raised from the dead in 3 days. But then that wonderful word that keeps so many people out of heaven and keeps so many people from recognizing that they're a sinner and they need salvation. And that little two-letter word is if. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. If. If. That's the language of the devil. If I could just believe that Jesus died for my sins, if I could just believe that, well, believe it. Trust in the Holy Spirit as he convicts your heart today and say yes to him. Do not use that word if. Well, if I just knew that this was right, if I just knew that this was true, if. They used it many times here. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. In verse 41, likewise also the chief priests mocking him, and the scribes and the elders say, he saved others. Isn't that something? He saved others? Himself he cannot save? If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. If. As we look at that verse 41 and 42, we have some pretty important people there. The chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. That were the three classes that made up the Sanhedrin, the ruling power of the Jewish nation. They were the ones that set up the Jewish laws. These were the ones that were mocking Jesus. These were the ones that should have known the Old Testament and recognized that this is the Son of God. Everything led to it. Everything was built up to it. And yet they ignored it and rejected it. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. Jesus could not save himself because he had come into the world to lay down his life for the sin of the world. And I say he could not. Yes, he could. But no, he couldn't. And let me explain to that. He had the power. To not go through with this. But he had come to die. He had come to seek and to save those that are lost. So did he have the power to end this? Yes. But he also had the love and the power and the knowledge and the wisdom to know, I'm going to do my Father's will. My Father sent me to die on the cross and take these folks' sin up on that cross with me. He purchased our salvation by the sacrifice of himself. They should have known. These mockers, if they would have just studied the Old Testament. If you would just go to the Word of God and trust in that truth, Jesus will show you through His Word by the Holy Spirit that this is the only way to salvation. Or are you going to be a mocker? The reason these people were mocking is because they did not study and know the Old Testament. Because, yes, He is the Son of God. He came to seek and to save those that are lost. At verse 44, the thieves also which were crucified and cast the same in His teeth, one of them, as we have studied earlier today, repented. One of those heard the Word of God. One of those is in heaven right now. The other's in hell. What's going to be your choice? Are you going to continue to be a mocker because you refuse to look to the Word of God, to study, to search it, knowing that Jesus is the only way? And I'm not talking about baptism, I'm not talking about church membership, I'm not talking about any kind of confirmation, I'm not talking about any of those things, I'm talking about your relationship with Jesus. And we need to study God's precious Word, enjoy it, love it. But we need to know Him first. So please come by faith to the Lord Jesus and trust in Him. Again, these mockers, they should have known the Word of God. They were the teachers, they were the preachers of the day, and yet today, many preachers deny the need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus, to repent and accept Him into your heart. That is never taught, that's never preached, and that's the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. We always ask that question, what are you going to do about Jesus? And that's a question that every heart, every soul needs to ask, because there is a heaven to enjoy and there's a hell to shun. You need to understand, if you do not come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are condemned already. Already. So when we read that verse 44, one listened and one did not. Then we go on to verse 45. Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. Sixth hour is about 12 o'clock noon. Ninth hour is about 3 in the afternoon. So in the center of the day, we could say, in the center of the day, God Himself blacked out the whole world. Some question that it was just that region, that area. I don't question that. I believe without question that the whole world, every inch of the world, was so dark that you couldn't see. It was almost like a film of mud in the air. It was that thick. You couldn't see. Let's go back to Exodus. If you question that God can do this, let's go back to Exodus chapter 21. Exodus 10, 21. I am notorious for doing that. I looked at the verse instead of the chapter. Exodus 10, 21. And the Lord said to Moses, stretch out thy hand towards heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. Moses stretched forth his hand towards heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. they saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. There was a case where it was just a certain area. I believe when Jesus died on the cross that it was worldwide, because in the case in Exodus, God just did it upon the Egyptians, not upon Israel. But when it comes to our sin, all are sinners. We need salvation. Every individual needs salvation. So it was a worldwide darkness, I believe. And the one example we have of how the Lord can take care of it, he stretched out his hand towards heaven, and there that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. Can you imagine what that was like for 3 hours in the middle of the day? 3 hours. God himself blacked out the world when Jesus paid the sin debt in full. Darkness over all the land. And again, I believe that it wasn't just locally. I believe that it was black as any night in all the world. Again, Jesus paid the sin debt for all the world, so I believe darkness was upon all the world. The events of that day, between his words and what had happened, declared who he was. Only God can do this. Only the Son of God could do this. In John chapter 8, verse 12, it says, I am the light of the world. For those 3 hours, there was no light. Jesus is the light of the world. If you want vision, if you want wisdom, if you want understanding, if you want to walk each day with the power and the presence of God, need to trust in Jesus. Because if you don't, you're condemned already, the scripture tells us. But I am the light of the world. But for those 3 hours, there was no light. There was no light. People could not move. What was going on in their minds with that darkness? Never witnessed or seen before. Did we kill the Prince of Light? Did we shut off the light of the world forever? And then comes the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? One said that this desertion by his heavenly Father was the climax of Christ's grief. It was the height of the intensity of his suffering, the deepest depth of his sorrow. Did God the Father really turn his back on Jesus, his Son, and forsake him? The answer is yes. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Who, being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, and sat down the right hand of the Majesty on high by himself. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?